And this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio. And we're going to be talking about immunisation today. And you've got me, Jeff Michael, here. And joining us in the studio, health experts include Diane Tate. And Diane is a proud Noongar woman, and she is one of two surviving siblings from a family of six. In fact, Diane, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
I was raised in East Perth, where new immigrants and Noongars went to live. Can't afford to live there now, it's too flash for me. But I'm the manager of the Aboriginal Health Team, which is part of Child and Adolescent Community Health. I'm a mum,
yep.
I'm a carer, I'm an auntie to many, and I'm a nana. But basically, I'm a strong Aboriginal woman.
And also joining us today is Dr. Paul Effler. Tell us a little bit about yourself there, Dr. Paul.
So you can probably tell from my accent that I'm from the United States. I trained there as a doctor and then ultimately went to work with the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta and spent quite a bit of time in Africa and Asia doing disease control activities. I ultimately married an Australian along the way during one of those outbreaks, met her in the Pacific, and we moved down to Australia about 8 years ago. And here in Western Australia, I manage the immunization program for the state.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, we're talking about immunisation today, and we're going to be talking about whooping cough as well as flu, childhood immunisations, and also something called HPV, which we'll talk about in detail a little bit later on. And Diane, bit of an obvious question, why is immunisation important?
For our children, I'm talking about young, our children, or all children. It's important to build their immunity to diseases. We need to bring up strong and healthy kids. So I'm looking forward to when Aboriginal health workers will be able to provide immunisation throughout the community. And they already had this strong relationship that they've built with the community. And once they're in this role, they'll become role models, plus it'd be so nice to go in and be immunised by another Aboriginal person.
Yeah, most important. And so Diane or Paul may be able to jump in on this question. Why should we get immunisations?
All right, so I'll talk a little bit first about how immunizations work so people understand what they are. Essentially, when we immunize someone, whether it be a child or an adult, what we're doing is we're exposing them to either dead germs or weakened forms of the germs that they would get exposed to in life eventually. So this morning I was thinking about it and trying to think of an example, and it would sort of be like if you were going to have to face the real germ, and that was a martial artist expert, wouldn't you want to practice first? And that's essentially what we do with vaccines. We expose them to parts of the germs or dead germs or weakened germs so that your body's immune system gets experience fighting that germ. And then when you get exposed to it, you know, someone's sick and you can make contact with them later in life, your body already knows how to fight it much better than it would have known if you hadn't had that vaccination. So that's how vaccinations work.
And Diane, I'll start with you there, Paul. Now, can you tell us a little bit about the immunizations that we're going to talk about today? I've mentioned something called HPV, which to people might think they're talking about, I don't know, a four-wheel drive, something like that, high-performance vehicle, something like that, but
it does. It does sound like that. I think let's come back to HPV because I'll probably to keep it straight. I'll start with the earliest vaccinations and then we can work through the life cycle over the course of our conversation here. So if that's okay. So I think the first thing we ought to talk about is how we can protect our most vulnerable members of our society, and that would be pregnant women and newborns, as I see it, is medically vulnerable, and through looking at hospitalization records and other things, we know that when women are pregnant, they're at much greater risk of getting influenza and being hospitalized or going to the intensive care unit, maybe even dying. We saw this very acutely during the recent pandemic in 2009. And so around the world, we started doctors started thinking about how we could protect these pregnant women. And the reason they're at risk is because when they're carrying a baby, their immune system, their protection system, tones itself down a little bit because it's trying to make sure that the baby, who's half somebody else's genes, is not hurt. So when we vaccinate them, what we do is the woman develops protection for herself against flu, but she can pass that to the baby as well.
So quite interesting, yeah. Now, Diane, what prevents immunization in the Aboriginal community?
I understand there's a number of factors. And one can be transport, finance, family, sorry, business. It's not that people don't care, it's just that people have other priorities at that point in time. So when they turn up, or when families turn up, it's great that they can be immunised. I am from the Aboriginal Health Team, so I have two Aboriginal Pacific immunisation clinics, one at Maddington and one at Bensley, and families can just pop in, drop in, and have their children immunised. I've even myself had some barriers placed in front of me when I've taken my child to be immunised. Firstly, they questioned whether my child was Aboriginal. That was nice. The second one, I had a phone call to say, if you don't immunise your child, you're not going to get your benefits. And I just said, I don't get benefits at work. What a surprise. So there's lots of different factors that can come into play. So when people don't turn up, it's not that they're not interested. It's just that there is another priority in their life happening at that time.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, the system kind of makes them silly assumptions as well. That's another thing.
It does. Yeah. There are all these little assumptions people think about Aboriginal people, you know, stereotypical views. People should just take other people as they come on, you know, not look and think, oh, it's an Aboriginal person, I know about Aboriginal people. One size does not fit all in the Aboriginal community.
And this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio with me, Jack Michael, and in the studio have Diane Pate and Dr. Paul Effler. We might take a music break. We're going to hear from Philip Wallystat. Here he is with Strong. And that's Phil Wally-Stack just there. It's strong. And this is Health Matters. Today we're talking all about immunisation. And joining us in the studio, experts Diane Pate and Dr. Paul Effler. And we'll get back to you there, Paul. Okay, well, we're talking about the pregnant mum earlier on there.
Yeah.
So the baby's been born. What happens now?
All right. So if we vaccinate the woman in pregnancy for two diseases, for influenza and whooping cough, we've learned that the mom will pass that protection to the baby while it's still inside her, across the placenta. Moms have been doing that since the beginning of time with germs they'd been exposed to, passing protection to their newborn. What we do is make sure that they have a lot of protection against flu and whooping cough, and then protect the child. And people might remember last year about this time we had the tragic death of a child, Riley Hughes, whose mom, we didn't have a maternal vaccination program at that time. And she's been her and her husband have been very strong advocates of showing the importance of why moms should protect their newborns from whooping cough and flu while they're still in the womb.
And, well, maybe Diane, you got anything to add to that?
I just think that immunisation is so important. So, as Paul said, through pregnancy, passing that on to the little one in utero, you know, they're getting some of that, so it's good for them for when they are born.
How about staying updated with vaccine? You had that analogy earlier on there, got to practice.
Yeah, absolutely. You want your body to be warmed up for when it encounters the real fight. And that's why it's really important to vaccinate young infants early in life. So I can tell you from looking at WA's data that Aboriginal children are hospitalized at twice the rate of non-Aboriginal children for whooping cough, three times as often for influenza, and nine times as often for invasive pneumococcal disease. And unfortunately, those diseases are most serious when the child is very young. So in order to get them protection, in addition to making sure the mom gets vaccinated, we want to start the vaccination schedule at 2 months of age. And then it's for the child to get real protection, they really need their 4 month jabs and their 6 month jabs before they've got basic protection against the early pathogens they will face. So as Diane said, and I agree with her completely, the biggest factor in not staying on the vaccination schedule is a busy life. We actually know that from studies around the world that when a child's not fully vaccinated, it isn't usually because the parents don't like vaccinations, it's because they have other children and life intervenes.
Yeah, that's often how it goes. It's a fairly busy world today as well, isn't it? And how does WA Health ensure new mums are getting the immunisation message?
There's a number of ways we can promote this, via radio, Facebook, Twitter, Healthy WA website. They will promote all types of vaccination. And just from listening to Noongar Radio, having these health matters, it's a good way to get the message out across to community members.
Okay, we might take another musical break and we'll continue talking about immunisation. And this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio. just there at the final countdown. And this is Health Matters, and we're talking immunisation today with experts Diane Pate and Dr. Paul Effler. And by the way, all of today's information on immunisation can be found on Healthy WA and the website healthywa.wa.gov.au. And well, it's getting all wintry now and it's flu season. Dr. Paul.
Yes, absolutely. Flu season is coming, and the vaccine is now available at GPs and government providers and Aboriginal health services. And the vaccine is made available free by government to a number of groups, but particularly important for this audience is Aboriginal individuals 15 years of age and older, and all children under 5. And so we do know from looking at records, again, that Aboriginal children, young children particularly, are at high risk of serious influenza illness. So now's the time to talk to your provider about getting your child protected against flu.
And Diane, do you have any idea on the vaccination rates, say, in Perth compared to other parts of the state?
Unfortunately, Perth is lower than other parts of the state. And looking at all the evidence and wondering why this is happening, why can't we improve our immunisation rates? Do we need to ask why there are barriers? If there are barriers, what are the barriers? We need to find out from our families.
Understand that up north they actually have better immunisation rates than here in Metro, is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Up north, the immunization rates for both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal children are quite good. And at 5 years of age, the latest data would show Aboriginal children have higher rates of immunization than non-Aboriginal, just by a few percentage points. But it's parity, and we really like to see that, equal protection. Unfortunately, in metropolitan Perth, we have some of the lowest vaccination rates among Aboriginal children, and I think that in the country. And I think that reflects access to care and the busy lives of people that live in the metropolitan area. So government, I think we need to try and do more to make services readily available, make people aware that they're available.
And this is Health Matters, and we're talking immunisation today on Health Matters. And if you want to find out a bit more, you can go to the website healthywa.wa.gov.au. Now, what if you miss a scheduled immunisation?
It's not too late to go back and get it. If you miss the scheduled immunization, you can always get a vaccine with a longer interval, just not a shorter interval. So if you miss, say, the 4 month vaccination of the 2, 4, 6 months, if you didn't make it there for any reason, there's no shame in showing up later to get that 4 month vaccination, because it can still be given and will still put you back on track for protecting your child. So definitely I would encourage any parent that maybe they're feeling a bit bad that they've missed an appointment or something and don't want to go in, it's not a big deal, and that you can go back in and get caught up.
So it's going back a little bit. I mentioned about the HPV. What does that mean, and why should we be getting vaccinated for it there, Dr. Paul?
Sure. So HPV stands for, it's a long word for a virus called a human papillomavirus. And essentially what we need to know is that virus causes cancer. And it particularly causes cancer in the cervix of a woman. And again, we know from hospitalization and death data, unfortunately, Aboriginal women have more than twice the rate of cervical cancer than non-Aboriginal women. But the good news is that an Australia-designed vaccine can protect against HPV infection. And we now offer it to all kids in school in WA and across Australia in year 8. So they need 3 doses of this vaccine. It can stop them from getting cancer. And the evidence already shows that it's working. It's working really well. One challenge we face is we have noticed that we see a drop-off among Aboriginal young women in getting their, and men, in getting their third dose of vaccine. And so we really want to work on strategies to make sure we can catch those kids up, whether it be at their Aboriginal health service later, or a GP, or a government clinic. If they miss the dose in school, it's still worth showing up somewhere, because we'll provide the dose and make sure they're fully protected against cancer in the future.
This is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio, and we're talking about immunisation. We'll take another musical break. AC and the Sunshine Band. That's the way I like it. And the experts in the studio would like it if you were immunised or getting immunised. And Diane, can you tell us some stories on what people will say to you about immunisation? Have you got any tales to tell?
Yeah.
True ones, preferably.
Recently, we had some young mums come up to a member in my team and ask her to stop one of her staff talking to them about immunisation, because every time she saw the young mums, she would tell them the benefits of having your child immunised. So it's really great that we've got workers within our team that were going out and spreading the word about immunisation. As mentioned before, I'm from the Aboriginal Health Team,
yes.
And we deliver an enhanced Aboriginal child health schedule, which means we get to see mums more often. And we also, well, the parents that utilise our service are not only able to talk to Aboriginal health workers about immunisation, but we also have nurses and a general practitioner within our team. So yes. If you have any myths about immunisation, you can discuss this when you come in to see us at one of our clinics. Now, our clinics across the metropolitan area, we have 9 bases throughout. So people can come in and feel relaxed. And I believe people should have a choice of service. So you can utilise the Aboriginal Health Team or Dhirubhul Yerrigan or your GP, just as long as you take your child to be immunised.
And for more information on immunisation, you can go to Healthy WA's website, healthywa.wa.gov.au. And getting back to you there, Dr. Paul, big question that people often ask, are vaccines safe?
Yeah, that's a very important question, and I'm happy that people ask it, because they should. If we think about vaccinations, they are the only medicine that we actually routinely give to well people, right? Healthy people, and we provide these. So they have to be incredibly safe. And that's why vaccines are the most studied of all medicines before they ever get used and even after their use. So we have good data on the vaccines we use to know that they are safe, and we actually monitor them carefully in WA with some special projects to make sure we can reassure the public and doctors that the products that they're using are safe. So my view is I've vaccinated both my children. I have 2 children. They're fully vaccinated. Recently got the HPV vaccinations in the school program. And, you know, I wouldn't have done that if I didn't have total confidence that the products are safe.
And, yeah, so basically what would people need to look out for?
Well, I'd like to, if I could, I'd like to pick up on a point that Diane was making about improving access to immunization services. And I know Diane agrees with me on this, is that we think it's important that ultimately we have Aboriginal health workers be able to provide education and vaccinate members of their community. And there's a number of reasons for that. Is they're understand the culture, can communicate well with the public, and really can provide access and perhaps some environments where there are less GPs or less other government services available. So we're working hard to make that happen, and I hope that will be embraced by others.
Yeah, that's what I was going to touch upon, yeah. Could you do with more Aboriginal health workers? Bit of a silly question, a bit obvious, but could you do with more health workers there?
Definitely. However, due to government, at the moment there is a freeze on employing people, so we have to wait until that is lifted, and then, yes, I'd be out scouting around for health workers, so they can always send their resume in to my directly.
And this is Health Matters, and we're talking immunisation today, and we'll take another musical break. We'll come back straight after this song. That's the Rumpy Band, Cold Weather. That's the Ruby Band, Cold Weather. And if you haven't had your flu shot, perhaps be an idea to get that done very soon, because we're talking immunisation today here on Health Matters. And in the studio we have experts Diane Pate and Dr. Paul Effler. Now, Diane, getting back to you there, what do you feel about the low rate of immunisation in the Aboriginal community?
It saddens me, but then I have to look at why. What are the barriers? And the support the family may need. So they might not come straight out and say they can't come in because they need transport.
Yeah.
You need to work around that and talk to families. We recognise that parents are the experts and we are here to enhance their skills. And if they require transport, our team is willing to go out and pick them up. On our drop-in clinic days, we organise for our team, it could be a health worker or a nurse, to go out and collect our clients. And on the way back, that time in the car is when we will do a lot of our health promotion, why it's so important to have your child vaccinated. Right. So lots of information is gathered when you pick up a mum from home and bring her into the clinic.
Yeah. And I suppose you probably talk to them about what people have said after they've been immunised.
Yeah, you've got to get in there straight away. There's lots of myths around, or if they had a bad experience, because some people may give you all the hearts and flowers when you're being immunised, and then some nurses may just jab, because that is how you're taught to jab the needle. So if a parent sees that, that might be a little bit confronting. So you need to talk parents around that. Because on one hand, you can have the hearts and flowers from people who want to, you know, make it all wonderful. And on the other hand, you might have a nurse that, I'm going to immunise your child, so let's do it. And this is how I've been taught, with jab.
So there's one question that I haven't got on the script, but I just thought of it then. Does it always have to be done via a needle, or can people have a tablet?
They can have a syrup. For the babies, but for adults, it's the jab, the flu, and that's really important for our older generation. And I want our kids to grow up to be strong and healthy leaders for tomorrow. So I'm for immunising. I have my children immunised. When it's the flu season, we all march down to the GP and we're all vaccinated.
And I suppose you often hear in the news how an old illness makes a return, and we're talking about mumps, and Dr. Paul, you've got a story about mumps returning.
Yes, absolutely. I often think of that vaccines are so successful getting rid of disease, they're really the victims of their own success, that we forget about them and until they rear up again. And that's what's happened in Western Australia in the last year with mumps. We have almost 800 cases of mumps have been laboratory confirmed, and much of those mumps cases are occurring in Aboriginal communities in the country, from the Kimberley all the way down to Esperance. So it's important to make sure that every child that lives anywhere in WA, but particularly in those areas having mumps, has two doses of a vaccine called MMR, measles, mumps, rubella. And if they have two doses of that, that'll offer the best protection of them not getting mumps. So what happens when you get mumps? You get a fever, muscle aches and pains like most illnesses, but really it's called mumps because it makes the salivary glands, the saliva glands in your face swell up, and you start to look like a chipmunk. So if you know somebody that's, or I was trying to think of an animal from here that would have pouches like that, but if you know somebody that gets a fever and has a swelling in the sides of their jaws, then you should suggest they talk to their doctor about maybe being examined for mumps.
Would they be getting sore muscles kind of around the saliva glands?
Absolutely. And fortunately, oftentimes it's not incredibly serious, but it can rarely lead to brain infection, so it can be serious. So that's the reason you want to be vaccinated, is to make sure you don't get that more serious illness.
And would it perhaps lead on to other things that we haven't heard from for quite a while to be immunized against? Something like shingles.
Well, there will be a shingles vaccine coming out very soon, and it'll be for older adults, and with, you know, we hope that we get really good uptake in the entire community with that as well, because I myself have had shingles, even though I don't think of myself as old. I guess I'm getting up there, and I know others have had it, and it's really an unpleasant and can be a disabling experience.
And this is Health Matters, and we're talking immunization today. And perhaps a little bit of a recap for those listeners who may have missed out on the start. Who are the most vulnerable people in the community that should be immunized?
We'd really like to make sure that pregnant women get protected against influenza and whooping cough. So not only they're protected, but they can protect their newborn baby. Once the baby's born, it's not possible in those first few months to protect that vulnerable child directly. Then, second to that, it's really important because the diseases are most serious when a child is young, that the child starts the vaccination series at 6 weeks to 2 months of age and follows through with the four-month dose and the six-month dose. And a good thing, the way I would think of it is when you go for your first well baby check after you deliver your child, is talk to the provider then about setting up a schedule and the importance of staying with that schedule.
And this is Health Matters, and for more information on immunisation, you can go to the Healthy WA website, healthywa.wa.gov.au. And we'll take another musical break on Health Matters.
Thank you.
precepts with promises here on Health Matters. Today we're talking about immunisation, and almost at the end of the program. And before we do go, we've got some key messages to let the listeners know about. Let's start off with you, Diane.
So the importance of immunisation is for your child. You know, when you've got a little kulunga and you're wanting to protect that little one, you talk to your child health nurse, your GP, your Aboriginal health worker about the importance of immunisation. We also acknowledge that you are the experts in your child. So I'm about a choice of services and for parents to make the right decision, but it has to be an individual's decision.
And there are some myths around vaccinations there. Can you tell us a little bit more on that, Dr. Paul?
Well, I think people think that vaccines actually cause diseases, you know, because sometimes you get vaccinated and you might feel a little bit ill the next day. Well, that's actually just your immune system turning on. It's the way the vaccine is supposed to work. And so some people can feel a little bit of illness, but that's to be expected. So that's certainly one myth that people have. The other thing I'd like to mention is it's important to vaccinate everyone we can, or everyone that can be vaccinated, because there's some people in our community that are too frail to benefit from vaccination. Maybe they have an illness, maybe it's because they're elderly or too young, and so we can protect them as a community by being vaccinated ourselves so we don't pass on a germ or disease to them.
That's very important, that. And how about trying to keep parents to stay up to date with immunizations?
So we can do that by when a bub's born, you have a booklet that you're given, and that tells you about your immunization, but also you can talk to other people. You can talk to your Aboriginal health worker, your GP, and we, in our team, we will go out and remind people. So we will go out and drop off notifications to say, your baby is due for immunisation. If you require transport, please let us know.
And if people want to find out more about immunisation, what website can they go to?
For the Department of Health website, do you have it available there?
Oh, that's right. Oh, here we go. Healthy WA. That's healthywa.wa.gov.au. People want to find out a bit more on that. And what time should people go and get vaccinated?
Well, now's the time.
Absolutely.
Particularly because flu's approaching, and if you want to be protected, talk to your provider now.
And this is Health Matters. Been talking about immunisation today, and that's pretty much it for today. One final message for the listeners.
Okay, I believe in immunisation. That's personal, but I want to ensure that our little ones today, our little kulungas, will become our strong and healthy leaders for tomorrow. So immunise.
Okay, perhaps we might forget that staffer that's telling all your patients or people there to get immunised. That might forget them in the studio one day as well. Okay, thank you very much for joining us today here on Health Matters. We've been talking about immunisation, and if you want to find out more, go to the website healthywa.gov.au. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me. Bye.